The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome and good morning to everyone joining us in person, and welcome to all those joining us online. It is good that we are all here together, and together we will encounter God in word and in sacrament and in the presence of each other. And before we begin, just a few quick notes about our service. We had a change in the hymn of the day. It is scratched in on your bulletin. So our hymn of the day is hymn 482. Come with joy. Your bulletin might just say joy, because I had to hand change all this morning. Come with joy was a lot. But 482, come with joy. If you can't write, I need my writing, 482. And then we just like to announce or continue to remind people that we are encouraging and asking people to mass while we sing to help keep us all safe. And with all that being said, let us begin this seventh Sunday of Easter with the words printed in our bulletin. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And I invite all who can stand to stand now and turn and face our fonts. And know that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, by whose hand we are given new birth, by whose speaking we are given new life.
Amen.
Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are welcomed, restored, and supported as citizens of the new creation. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. Let us pray. Holy and merciful, holy and mighty, you are the river of life, you are the everlasting wellspring. In mercy and might, you have freed us from death and raised us with Jesus, the firstborn of the dead. In baptismal waters, our whole life is washed away, and in them we are born anew. Glory to you for oceans and lakes, for rivers and streams. Honor to you for waters that wash us clean, quench our thirst, and nurture both crop and creatures. Praise to you for the life-giving waters of baptism and the outpouring of the Spirit of new creation.
Wash away our sins and all that separate us from you. Empower our witness to your resurrection. Strengthen our resolve in seeking justice for all.
Satisfy the world's needs through this living water. Where drought dries the earth, bring refreshment. Where despair prevails, grant hope. Where chaos reigns, bring peace. We ask this through Christ, who with you and the Spirit reigns forever.
Amen.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Let us pray. God of glory, your Son, Jesus Christ, suffered for us and ascended to your right hand.
Unite us with Christ and each other, suffering and joy, that all the world may be drawn into your bountiful presence. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns
Amen. And now I invite the children to come forward for a children's message. How are you guys today? I heard a laugh. Story behind that laugh. Oh, I know it's your dad's. All right, so you've all seen this, right?
Yeah.
Do you know what this is called?
A candle.
It is a candle, yes. One for one. But this candle has a particular name, too. Does anyone want to take a guess?
No.
No, no. Any guesses in the audience?
Christ candle.
The Christ candle. And you light it, to represent the presence of Christ with us. And intuitively, this might mean that we light it at all times, but it is only lit at specific times. And it's Easter, so you don't get to guess Easter because we light it at Easter, but what else do we light it?
Christmas,
yeah. We light it at baptisms and at funerals to remind us that in death we're united in our baptism. And we light it, as I said, at Easter. But something specifically happened on Thursday. And I know you, do you know what that is? Some churches met on Thursday. Does anyone know the liturgical event on Thursday?
Ascension.
So Christ, we read in the Gospels that Christ was around after the resurrection for 40 days, and that 40-day time period ran out on Thursday. And then Christ ascended into heaven. So what do you think we do with our Christ candle that has been lit for Easter on Ascension Day? Blow it out, yes, we blow it out. And we do this as a kind of as a acted out meaning of Christ ascending. And then there'll be one more trick question coming up. So as we blow it out, let's watch the smoke ascend up into heaven as disciples were watching Jesus ascend up to heaven. Are you ready? You want to count? Here's the bigger question, though. Because now the light, you might think, the light is no longer with us. This is no longer lit. And we don't want to convey that meaning. But now as this smoke has ascended up, it now surrounds us all as the risen Christ is now with us all in this room, in all places, at all times. And now the candle is out, and you will relight it next Easter, next Christmas, next baptism, or next year.
Whichever one comes first.
Everyone comes first. Okay, why don't you hold this here for a second? So let us pray. So bring our hands together. You don't get to. Here. Yeah, put your foot there. Now you can, here we go, with one hand. No, here we go. All right, one, two, three. Dear God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending Jesus.
Thank you that Jesus is with us.
Amen.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Our first reading is from the book of Acts, the first chapter. Hear now the word. When the apostles had come together, they asked Jesus, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and James and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All of these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
This morning we will sing the psalm found on page 5 of your bulletin. It's Psalm 68. I will begin singing the light print. Please respond by singing the bold dark print.
Let God arise, and let God's enemies be scattered. Let those who hate God flee. Be glad and rejoice before God. Let them also be merry and joyful. Defender of widows.
You give the solitary home and bring poor prisoners into freedom, but the rebels shall live in desert places.
O God, when you went before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, sent a bountiful rain, O God. You restored your inheritance when it languished.
Your people found their home in it.
to the Lord.
You ride in the heavens, O God, in the ancient heavens. You send forth your voice, your mighty voice.
Ascribe power to God, whose majesty is over Israel, whose strength is in the skies.
How wonderful you are in your holy places, O God of Israel. Living strength and power to your people, blessed be God.
The second reading is from the first book of Peter, the fourth chapter. Hear now the word. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in good time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
According to St. John, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all people, authority to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and all yours are mine. And I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, we had our synod assembly yesterday, and myself and Susan and Sabine and Sandy were there to watch on Zoom, and so I was tempted to not prepare for a sermon because we had worship, and I knew we were going to worship together, and I wanted to hear what the bishop had to say about this text, but the bishop preached on a different text. A little bit of panic mid-synod assembly. But we had a great time, and we had a theme at that assembly of we are not alone. We are together in this journey, together with the synod, together with the other churches of the synod, together as a church. We are not alone. And of course, we are not alone because God is with us. We are always with God. And they had a beautiful hymn that was presented with this constant thing. You are not alone, for God is with you. It was a beautiful time. And on a somber note, though, and I'm not going to preach on this note, but it will introduce my story. There are currently in our synod 40 churches looking for pastors. That is a quarter of the churches represented. And so I went home and looked at the national chart, and for that number is 602 on a national level, churches advertising for a pastor. And again, I'm not going to preach on that, and I'm not going to preach on the candidacy committee, which calls pastors. I want to introduce this story by saying that is a very hard and a long, winding, and difficult path that, if it all goes well, is a 4-year time process. Now, our church has finally acknowledged that process is difficult and are in the midst of a reformation of that process. And again, I'm not here to talk about that process, but do lift up our seminarians and those in that process, because it is long, hard, and difficult. And if potentially that process was not so long and so hard, we would have enough pastors there. But it is a long, hard passage. And so I want to talk about a story from that. So I want to introduce that thing to us. And I went through it twice, right? So I went through it the first time, dropped out, went back again. So
So a long and hard process, daunting, done twice, once finally to completion. But in the midst of my attempting to come back into the ministry, everything had to go through Philadelphia while I lived in Seattle. So that was one huge problem. And it's daunting enough, the first application, that 40-page form that you have to fill out, asks everything about you, and then you have to send a form to your church and your pastor and three best friends, and you have to do all this, it's a mountain of paperwork, and daunting as ever, and I had done this, and I was waiting for the next step, and again, I'm in Seattle, Washington, it happened to be my day off, so I volunteered at donate blood at our local church, and so I was going to wake up in the morning, just have some relaxing time, and go make donate my blood, and just have like a great kind of relaxing day. But that morning, I get this email from the synod in Philadelphia saying, "Oh, we forgot to inform you, however, that there's a class that you need to be at on Saturday." And if you're not there, we understand, you'll have to wait a whole another year to take that class again. So on my way down to give blood on my relaxing day, I had to swing by the travel agency, try and book some kind of emergency plane tickets to get to Philadelphia by Saturday. And that, of course, wasn't cheap. And all the frustration that I was experiencing in this candidacy process. I finally got to the church for my appointed time to donate blood. And of course, as you all know, they check your blood pressure beforehand. So I was informed that I was not able to donate blood that day and was invited to go check in with my doctor. And at that moment, as I was leaving, frustrated as I'll ever, Pastor Scott, whom you all met, my ordination, came out to see me, and I was expressing some frustration at the process. And so he brought me into his office, and we were talking, and he asked me a question: "Do you still feel called to be a minister amidst all this?" And I said, "Yes, I still feel called." And then he said, "Okay, let me read you something." And he pulled out his form that he filled out about me, that he, his part of that process to the synod. And he read to me what he wrote. So this was not a conversation that I was meant to have. This was a conversation about me to another entity, the synod. But he read it to me. And his glorious words of support and vision of who I was and my desire to be a minister was on that paper in ways I couldn't myself articulate. And it was a very moving experience to hear his words about me, but not to me. And I left that office feeling okay. This is a hard process, but I am going to go through it. And that dynamic of being in that room, hearing about yourself, though the topic is not directed to you, that fills you with that warmth and support, that is exactly what is going on in our text today. If we notice, we've been in this long text of Jesus, starting at the Last Supper. We've had that supper, the foot washing scene. We've had those instructions that Jesus gave us the last couple weeks. We've been in those passages in the Gospel of John, the specific instructions of Jesus. And now they have gone out into the night, into a garden. Remember, the world was created in a garden, and the world will be recreated anew in a garden. And there, in that garden, Jesus prays. He prays to God. And it happens to be about us. And we are invited into that room to hear this conversation about us in the heart of Christ, lifted up to God. In this mystery of prayer that our advocate, Jesus, prays for us. And we get that chance to hear what he has to say. And Jesus begins that prayer with an intimate relationship with God. That intimate name, Father. I pray for them. And we have this foretaste of the mystery to come in a few weeks. There is God, Jesus, praying to God, God. And in the midst of that bound of love, in me, in you, what you have given me, I have given you. In midst of that intimate relationship, the Spirit flows out. And in that one reality we call God, that intimate, beautiful, loving connection. And what does Jesus pray for? He prays that we may know this union, that they may be one as we are one. And we spoke about this Ascension Thursday, and this is where we get into this reality now of Christ who is risen from the dead, rose into heaven to be around us and with us. That we are all connected to God through the life of God, through the love of God, and that connection, that oneness flows all around us, opened up to us because of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. And we may know. And again, knowing is an intimate word in our Bible. To know someone is to know them. A few weeks ago, we had that woman at the well story, and remember what the stranger said to the woman? We came because you told us. But now we know. They know because they've met Jesus, experienced Jesus, and now they know that Jesus is with them. This is the heart of Jesus, that we may intimately know who God is, and that God loves you, that God is with you, that we may encounter this God in the words, in our sacraments, in our presence, that we may know that God's life is for us and with us, in the stranger in the streets, in the diversity of all of creation, there is this God who holds us in God's hands. So we are invited today into this prayer of Jesus, a prayer as a promise that you will all know that God is with you and that you, through Christ, are united back to God. Amen.
Amen.
I come back to you.
united in the hope and joy of the resurrection. Let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. God of harmony, as you drew your Son to your side, you draw us to you and unite us with the planet and one another. Weave your church together in a web of mutual love for the sake of the world. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
As your Spirit hovered over the waters of creation, so your Spirit hovers over all that you have made. Bless the water that sustains the planet and grant wisdom to use it wisely. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You empower your people with the fire of your Spirit. Challenge activists and organizers, teachers and politicians, and all in leadership to speak a message of peace and justice. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You care for all your children. Show your steadfast love to those suffering isolation, especially exiles, refugees, or prisoners. Break the chains of all held fast by systemic oppression of any kind. Comfort all who are afraid or suffering from illness, especially Aaron, Mariah, Jane, Kevin, Mike, Jim, Kelly, Joe, Clifford, Madeline, Ara, Penelope, Twyla, Karen, Brian, the Kimberly family, Colin, Meredith and family, victims of the war in Ukraine, the earthquake in Turkey and Syria, and people of Furlan Lutheran Church. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We give thanks that humankind serves as your body in the world, stewarding your abundant gifts. Guide this congregation's leaders as they seek your will. We pray for our staff and council. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You raise your saints to new life in Christ. We give you thanks for all your saints who have given us glimpses of your redeeming love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord.
Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with your neighbors.
Thank you.
you now if you could all journey back. And if we can stand, if you are able, as we prepare for our meal. Everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Remembering, therefore, his command, his life-given passion and death, and his glorious resurrection and ascension, and the promise that he will come again, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. We ask you to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and the Holy Spirit, bless us, your servants, and these your own gifts of bread and wine, so that we and all who share in the body and blood of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessing and grace and receive the forgiveness of sins, be formed to live as your holy people, and be given our inheritance with all the saints. To you, O God, the creator, redeemer, and sustainer, be all honor and glory in your holy church, now and forever.
Amen.
Gathered together by the Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. This is the feast of God for the people of God, and all here are invited to come forward and partake of these gifts. In a minute, our usher will have you come forward. We ask you to come forward with one hand raised, and you will receive the element in your hand, and then you'll come to the station with the wine, the lighter liquid is grape juice. We have containers for when you're done, you may put them there and then return to your seat. Our site altar is open and available for anyone who wishes, after receiving communion, to have additional prayers. You may find your way to that side. We invite you, if you so wish, to light a candle and place it in the sand as an offering of prayer up to God. If you wish to just come and receive a blessing, come with your arms folded, but know this table is open for all, and all are welcome to come. Amen.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, keep us in grace.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in you we live and move and have our being. With your word and the seal of grace, you have nourished our life together. Strengthen us to show your love and serve the world in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now we take a moment of pause for announcements for the good of our community. And Arnie's in the back with the microphone. If you raise your hand, we'll take the microphone.
I'm Sally Jennings from Social Ministry, and I have sad news. Grace Winds Haven is closing its doors permanently on June 15th. And so because of that, we will no longer be collecting coffee or hygiene items or clothing for the people who are clients at Grace Winds Haven. Dan will take what we have over this week, and they have about 3 weeks to give things out yet, so I'm sure things will find a good home, but we'll be discontinuing this mission from now, and my only hope is that out of the ashes, new life will happen, a new agency will be formed, but there is now nothing for the people of the Newport area in terms of help if you're homeless or really in need. So pray for the people who are now left without Grace Winds Haven. Thank you for all you've done for them. Come on.
I just want to thank you all. I'm out of surgery for 3 weeks. It went great. There were no complications. I actually went in for my three-week checkup this week, and they said it was the best checked x-ray they've ever seen post-surgery, and I was recovering better than they ever expected. And I will tell you that it is your prayers, it is your visits, it is your meals, it is your good thoughts. Everything that you guys did sustained me, healed me, and I just am very grateful to have you as my family. And the hospital would laugh because I put all your cards around my bed and in the windows, and they're like, that woman is loved. And I was like, you know what? Yes, I am. So thank you.
Are there any more? I promise to be quick. Next week's Pentecost. So we encourage and invite you all to wear red, and knowing that red also means green, blue, orange, whatever you want to wear, it's great, but also wear red if you wish. And we are going to be updating our bulletin board outside with our pictures, so not outside, but by the coffee stand, so if you would mind reaching out to myself or Marion, we can get your picture and update that board. That's of course for all of our members, but for all of our friends as well. If you want a way that we can identify you and remember your and put a name to a face, this would be a great opportunity. And we'll be doing that for the next month. And then on the 4th, for Adult Forum, we are happy to have a guest speaker with us. Mary Ann from the Health Department will be coming at Adult Forum on the 4th to be talking about what health priorities the County Health Department should have. You'll be getting a link with some potential survey options and some other opportunities there. But they'll just invite you to join us on the 4th for that discussion on what priorities should be and ways in which the church may be able to intersect and be a partner with the county. And with all that, let us prepare our hearts and our minds for the benediction. The God of all who raised Jesus from the dead, bless you by the power of the Holy Spirit.